What blocks of intimacy are keeping you from handing your struggle over to Jesus? Hey, everybody. My name is Matt Tilley, and I'm here with Craig Faust. Hey, Craig.
Hey.
You are listening to the Handing It to Jesus podcast, the podcast where we learn to trade over our deepest struggles to God for lasting peace. I think this chapter, Engage, is important. After we come out of this Connect chapter, we're trying to learn a lot of these spiritual disciplines, different ways of treating our days, different disciplines of incorporating that overall is going to kind of change our perspective, the way our mind, heart, body kind of operates from day to day. And then we move into this Engage chapter, yeah, where we're really trying to process all that we just went through in that hard month-long, probably more, period where we're really putting rubber to the road. Mm-hmm. But in this chapter, we really want to understand, what about what I just did was super hard? What did I notice where I had maybe a little resistance or some blocks to actually moving closer to the Lord whenever I was actually really making a hard attempt? I was putting the work in, and I still felt some resistance. I still felt a distance or a lack of. And as we talk about blocks to intimacy, I think this will give you a little bit more understanding and awareness of what you're still kind of telling yourself, what you're still maybe deep down in your heart believing about yourself that is not based in the reality of who God says you are, or maybe even who most of your loved ones say you are. But you've probably learned it at some point in your life from somebody who is important to you.
Right. Or it's something that you've been able to glean meaning from. And what a beautiful way of describing this, this Engage part. You know, I had a podcast idea quite some time ago, and I wanted to call it Dig Deeper. And this idea that once you start to learn and understand yourself, all right, now you're kind of at the crust. Mm-hmm. Now let's dig deeper. Now let's go far beyond
that. I like
that.
Yeah.
And that's what this Engage section is, right? You're really trying to understand that whenever I'm doing things, right, we've kind of already had this recognize session or section, this exploration and trying to understand a little bit of this. Now we're digging deeper in this Engage section to try to really take a hard look at ourselves and what is blocking us, what's making, it's not to judge us, it's to understand us. It's to understand the opportunity at growth that we have so that we can even hand these parts over to Jesus. Because if you haven't figured out by now, we start off with a struggle that we're handing to Jesus, and we find out there's a lot of things attached to that struggle.
Of course.
Which help us acknowledge why the struggle is so hard. So this is just another layer of acknowledgement of that, of noticing the weight of the struggle, and being able to name it, being able to have kind of like a target, which allows us to start to move closer to Jesus in prayer about it.
Right. I think as I think about this process, I kind of see it in a cyclical way where, you know, we start with maybe a surface level struggle. And I picture a tree in this sense. Like you might see that the fruit is bad on a tree. So you want to address that problem, like figure out, well, how do I get good fruit? And so maybe you start of just swapping out that fruit with good fruit, you know, and maybe it's okay for a little while, but you're really only hitting surface level issues. And so similar to the way that our humanity works or our flesh or sin nature too, we might have like a very surface level sin that we're struggling with, but always underneath a very physical action that we're doing that's not okay, or a lack of action that's not okay, there is a hard emotion underneath that action. Underneath that hard emotion, if we dig a little deeper, you know, that hard emotion might be like the trunk of the tree, but then under the trunk of the tree is the roots of the tree. And so underneath that hard emotion, you often find that there is a belief system that you have about yourself, about the world, about other people, about God. And I think that's kind of what we're getting at right here, is we're asking you to see, well, down to your roots, to your core, what else is going on there that is not aligned with God and his purpose and his desire for you.
Absolutely.
Something that is maybe sitting on the throne of your life that has its roots really dug deep into your heart and your brain, and to try to pull those out would actually be, and I think it is, really painful to pull out roots that maybe have been seated in there for a long time.
Absolutely.
So what we're asking you to do even here, I know we say this every podcast episode, but man, I understand how painful and difficult this is going to be, or this already is for you.
Yeah, and you'll get a chance to hear our heart a little bit so you can have an idea of what this digging deeper looks like. So we're in the engage step, and we are looking at number 5 here, the question 5. What fears arise when you think of having a close, vulnerable, emotionally open relationship with another person? And this fear for me tracks back to, you know, what we discovered and recognize about me, that I have this fear of really not being enough, not being good enough. And that I'm not going to be a good enough provider, I'm not going to be a good enough father, right? It's kind of like this, it's kind of all the places that the roots lead to is this belief in that. And the fear that shows up is if I show that part to somebody, they're going to say that that's true, that they see that too, that, you know, Craig, you are not enough. Mm-hmm. And this is super hard as a believer,
mm-hmm.
because a believer in Jesus, a believer in God, will tell you you're not enough because it's true.
Yeah.
But that part of me, that block, tells me that like there's something that's just so lowly about me,
mm-hmm.
that Jesus didn't actually go to the cross for me.
Right. Or that his death is like not sufficient enough for this thing, that this area of your incompetence, mm-hmm. of your failure,
right.
of your lack of worth or value, whatever it is that we're believing, is so much bigger than the price that Jesus paid,
right.
and what he is able to cover with his grace, his mm-hmm. sacrifice, his forgiveness, his mercy, his love for us.
Yeah.
And that's simply not true.
If I really pin it down for me, it's that I'm a believer. I've been a believer for a very long time. Whenever I go throughout my day today, there's a very good chance I'm going to sin at some point. And let's say that I do that today. I sin against God, then the fear of somebody else seeing that and being like, see, even with God's help right now, you're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not enough. And there's certain truth to that. And then we get down to like 5A, then like what that is for me is that this other person sees that I'm not enough, so they already see what I'm already fearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus is now seeing me do this sin. And it's not that Jesus was enough. It's just that Jesus is disappointed in me because I didn't do, mm-hmm. right? I'm not enough there to even have Jesus be proud of like what I did, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like I did this part for you. You know that I did this and you still sin.
Yeah. That his focus would be on your sin and not on how he redeems you. Right?
So there's my understanding of this whenever I first went through this workbook is that is a gap in my view on God,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a gap. And so like for me, I have to really lean on this part of God being outside of time, right? There, you know, God already knew about all these sins that I was going to commit, already knows the ones I'm going to commit in the future just because of God's nature. But it's difficult for me to grapple with because this block would show up.
Mm-hmm.
And what it would do is activate all these protective measures for me to try to show and talk about all the successes mm-hmm. that I was doing. which is,
or to spout your knowledge, mm-hmm. to show your expertise, to show your skill, right, your competence in a certain field or subject or whatever it is that you're talking about.
The arrogance and pride shield,
yeah,
been very strong,
yeah.
Like for this, so as we're reading this, right, I now that I have this idea of mm-hmm. this, it becomes a little bit easier for me to identify the block, which we'll talk about in a second after Matt shares with us.
What? I have to share too?
Yeah.
I got to get vulnerable? Oh, man. It's not easy, guys. I relate with a lot of what you've said, Craig. For me, as you were talking, I was thinking, I think I have this fear, and it's not just with God, it's with other people too, and why I know it's a block that keeps me from being more vulnerable than I could. And I've shared a little of my struggle already. But as I keep digging down deeper, what comes to my mind is I'm going to be found out as being an imposter, as being a liar, as being a fraud, that I don't actually have all my crap together.
Yeah.
I don't have it figured out. I'm not living the Christian life like how I'm proposing that I am, that I don't actually feel or think all of the things that I do about Jesus and how beautiful it is to live close to him, because my life doesn't show it, at least not in the way that it should, and that somebody's going to see it and they're going to call me out, and in that moment I'm going to have, again, my greatest fear revealed. Yeah, you're right. I am an imposter. I'm a fraud. I'm a failure. I don't fit into this mold that God has made for Christians or that I've made for myself. And I don't belong.
Yeah.
And that is
terrifying. You might not
terrifying.
Ever belong.
Yeah.
Like you might not be capable of it because you've already thought that you are.
Right.
Yeah.
That everybody who looks at me could potentially see through the veil that I put up, potentially know how wicked and awful I am.
Yeah.
And at this point in my, because I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old, you know, I remember a process, and it started there as I prayed a certain prayer to the Lord for relationship, for forgiveness of sins. And it kept growing. You know, for me, it wasn't just like a one-and-done instance, mm-hmm. as often it's not. You know, there's a moment of justification, a process of sanctification, and sometimes your process of getting that justification can be lengthy. But for me, I remember ever since I was this little boy of feeling like I had to act a certain way in order to get people's love, to get their approval, to get their praise, to get their accolades.
Right.
But knowing that if they really saw the other ways that I'm struggling, they wouldn't give me those things. They wouldn't say such lovely things about me. And so all of those things felt good as I got them, and they reinforced some good behavior and some good Christian living as well. But a lot of those also over time feel superficial because those people don't fully know me. And if they fully knew me, would they still say those same things? Would they still think mm-hmm. those same things about me? So I relate with Paul in some senses as he went in his Christian life. You could see him say in certain letters that he had this understanding first off that he was the worst of the apostles. Or the least of the apostles, that's how he said it. And then later on in his life, right before he was martyred, killed for his beliefs, he had a deepening perspective of his own wretchedness, of his own sin, and he said something close to that, I am the chief of sinners.
Right.
And so it's not actually that Paul was sinning more as he was getting closer to the Lord. He's maybe sinning less, we could argue, maybe leading more of a holy lifestyle, but his awareness and the depth of his awareness of his own sin, I think, grew.
Right.
And I think what I've come to realize is I've been trying to walk with Jesus and trying to be vulnerable and trying to keep repenting of those dark closets in my life, as I really see more clearly than I've ever seen before, and I hope I keep growing in my awareness too. I see more clearly just how messed up I am.
Right.
Down to my core.
Well, then the question is, right, so for us, and this is the whole reason that we're doing the Engage section, as you look at all of these questions and you notice which one of these forms of intimacy is the hardest for you, the recency effect, I'm sure, has some type of play here, but it's definitely this one for me.
Mm.
But the thing is that how can we hold both of those realities? And that's part of what this is. Mm-hmm. The whole workbook, the podcast here, is about helping you hold two realities.
Yeah.
The realities that, like, you are a sinner, and that sin, or in this case, the intimacy block here that we're going to be talking about and that we're kind of starting to flesh out here, is that often this pulls us away, right? So, like, fear of this pulls me away from people, pulls me away from Jesus,
yeah,
right? Because I don't really want to quite reveal it or acknowledge that truth. And that pulling away effect is not going to help me hand over my struggle. It's going to keep me locked in no matter what words that I say.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to find a way to engage my heart here, that, like, whenever I'm in the midst of this pain and I could show some of this fear, I could show some of the block of that intimacy and where mm-hmm. I'm failing at to turning to Jesus. And then instead of allowing that guilt and shame around this to pull me away,
yeah,
turn towards Jesus in prayer, turn towards other believers, turn towards Jesus and looking at the Word, and like, what do right. I have to say about what I'm going through?
Right.
And so you look at these different things,
amen,
these different
that.
Questions, and which one is the hardest? Mm-hmm. Because if we want to get closer to somebody, we share and we do hard things to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships are not built off things doing easy. Now, it can be easy with certain people that we get along with, but the relationship gets deeper the more risky things we share, the more
yeah.
that we push into this, yeah. the more that we show and reveal who we are, and they get acceptance. But for us with Jesus, the only way that we're going to get acceptance, not necessarily acceptance the way we are, right, but acceptance of the grace that Jesus is offering us, the only way we do that is by turning to Him in these most painful moments.
Yeah.
And that's where we're trying to really tune into this. So
that's right.
This next page here, we in the Engaged, we have a list of some common blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And these are common places that you may look at these different questions and you may kind of get the signal, right? That's something in your mind's really holding on to. And for you, you may look at this and there may be a few of them that show up.
Maybe we can read some of them out loud for our listeners who aren't looking at their workbook at the moment.
Would you mind if I did that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I am not lovable. I am broken beyond repair. No one really cares about me. I fail at everything I do. My emotions are not okay. I am not an acceptable person or acceptable as who I am. I'm a burden. I do not belong. And you'll notice even with some of these, right, I didn't mention that I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so these are clearly not exclusive. These are just some ideas, and hearing those, reading them, you may read one, you find that it's a little bit hard, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a little bit close, right? Like some of the words, like belong, like I don't belong, something mm-hmm. about that belong word. You know, so you can allow yourself to lean into that, to try to fill the space of giving words to that block.
Right.
And allowing the sensation to come up in your body, right? Whenever I talk about this feeling of not being enough, it's not quite in the stomach for me. It's a little bit above the stomach. I don't know what it is. I'm not good enough with human anatomy. but it kind of feels like there's something there that's like right above the stomach that is kind of like just rotating, right? It's almost like a mixing bowl, like right on top of my stomach. And the feeling that comes up whenever I'm not enough, it, like even right now I could feel it. It's just telling me to shut up. Like don't share, don't show, right? It could be confirmed. That fear even comes up right now. And can I take this part right now and go in prayer, which is something I've done? Can I take this part right here and confront my lack of understanding of God's love and what God really thinks about me? And that's where this engage section, where we're trying to get it to go for you, is that you can recognize that, all right, there's these things in the connect, and I'm narrowing down on what is hard in the connect, and what about that that's hard, and what does that say about me, and what am I really holding my cards against here? Because the more and more that we're looking at that friction, we want to take that friction and convert it into a response to move closer to Jesus amidst that friction.
That's right. Yeah, I think something important that Craig was hitting on big that I want to reinforce too is you do not have to have full acceptance or pushback against one of these blocks of intimacy, one of these shame beliefs about yourself. You don't have to get it covered or fixed or smoothed over before you come to Jesus with it.
Right.
In fact, I don't think you can, unless in the moment of fear and panic that you might feel as you feel it somewhere in your body, that you take a very courageous step and you come to Jesus while you're terrified and afraid with this, admitting that you can't necessarily dispel this all on your own.
Right.
Because I know I can't dispel it on my own. And I know that if I try, it keeps coming back. Totally. And I know that even if I do take it to the Lord too, it's going to be something, because I still live in a broken body with a broken heart and a broken world and broken relationships, that this block of intimacy is going to be something that kind of keeps coming back like a weed in a garden.
Yeah.
And I have to learn, while I'm terrified and scared to name it with somebody that I dearly love, but especially with Jesus, that if I don't take it scared to him, I'm going to have a lot more rough of a time trying to pull that weed out of the ground, because the roots run deep.
Well, and maybe for you, you're reading these and none of them resonate. Or maybe for you, you already have strategies in place to help you with this. Or you had some type of awareness or pulse on this before. That's wonderful. If it's harder to tell where this challenge is with Jesus, you can use people. Right? Matt and I were actually just talking about before we hit record, all right, this part of me that feels like I'm not enough shows up in my marriage all the time. Yeah. Right? It just showed up this morning.
We both experienced this morning when we were walking out the door. It's almost a daily basis.
Yeah, like my wife asked me this morning to put on this pot roast so that we'd be able to have it for dinner.
Yummy.
And I was already running late.
Uh-huh.
And so like I had these to get here. And so I had these competing things. And so like no matter what, there was this hesitance that I had of responding. And she didn't say anything. She just waited for a response. And I said, yeah, I'll be able to do that. But in my mind, right, this like not enough tune was already playing. I had this commitment to be here to record this podcast. And at the same time, like my wife needs help, because I went to my guys group this morning. She had to get the kids ready on her own to go to school and to kind of like prepare them for the day. And so like there's this part of me that's like, you know, Craig, like if you were enough, you would have planned better for this. You would have, you know, your wife wouldn't have had to have been stressing out this morning or anything like that, which by the way, she never blamed me for. She didn't do anything. So this thing just popped up because of something that happens within me. And I have to go there in that moment, right? Now that I'm better at recognizing it, And I could be like, whoa, 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 hold on, time out, time out, time out. She's not trying to make me feel this way. This is coming up for me. Mm. Like right now, I'm starting to feel like I'm not enough.
Mm.
And then so I take that to prayer, right? Jesus, help me in this moment where I'm not feeling enough to recognize that I alone am not enough, but mm-hmm. with you, I'll have everything that I need.
Right.
Right. Just that quick prayer, quick pivot. So what should have happened if, you know, trajectory would have set its course is that I would have went to go do this pot roast and I would have walked out the door angry at my wife for asking me to do something. Not because she didn't have the right to, but because I was upset that I had these competing priorities and I should have planned out better. So like, I'm mad at me, but it doesn't feel good. I don't want to be mad at me. I got to deal with me the rest of the day. Right. So I'll be mad at her because that's easier to do than to face this not enough part. Right. But if I can lean in there, turn to Jesus in that moment, it makes it easier for me to pivot. It's a beautiful thing to be able to do. It's a hard thing to be able to do. But once we know the words, once we have an idea of what happens to us, it makes it so much easier to turn to Jesus in that moment because we've already done that legwork.
Right.
And Jesus is open, right? So if I pray that 100 times, I guarantee you it's easier after I get to like the 50s than it was whenever I started in the first 10.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I kind of have a mantra to myself too, that I have to speak to myself so I keep believing it because I'm constantly tempted to doubt it. And if I don't keep repeating truth to myself in my head or out loud, more likely or not, I'm going to ruminate in my head all day long on this, not even the situation that I just went through, but what that means about who I am.
Right.
That's really where my mind settles in. This morning, as I was rushing out the door, my wife was angry at me, angry at the kids, angry at the situation, and I felt not good enough. I felt like I failed at something. And sure, I triggered something in her, just like the kids triggered something in her. You know, as my son's waking up at 6 a.m. and I was bad and went to bed super late last night and got 4 or 5 hours of sleep. And it's easy for me to give in and let him turn a show on really low volume in the morning at 6 a.m. as I get his breakfast ready because I'm terrified he's going to wake the baby up and I'll have to deal with two competing interests at 6 a.m. in the morning. And so I think that makes his tantrums a little
failing right
there. Yeah. And so I think that increases his tantrums a little later on when, you know, when the TV's off, but he wants something and he's not able to get it because we're trying to discipline or we're trying to give him good things and not things that are going to turn his brain to mush. And then my wife has to deal with that moment. And then there's a full blown tantrum. And then I'm trying to help discipline and calm him down. And she's angry at the situation and at the everybody's screaming, the baby's screeching, everybody's adding to the noise and it's chaotic. And all of a sudden I'm reminded by her like, well, why do I turn the TV on? That's the problem. And that it feels like, well, it's on me. It's all my fault. That this whole moment of how it's escalated is my fault. Right. And I have to remind myself that even if that's how it felt in that moment, that as I'm walking out the door, because I have to, you know, get to my responsibilities, it's not really all about me. I contributed. I shook her up a little. I shook up the family a little. I could have done better, yes. But it's not really all about me in that moment. And I have to remind myself of that, because if I choose to accept that it's all on me, that I have full responsibility for all of that chaos and all of the hard feelings, I'm going to more easily accept a shame belief about myself. It's going to be a block of intimacy, that shame, that keeps me from being able to engage with my wife later and be a servant to her, to be loving towards her. I'm going to be tempted to withdraw from her. And if I'm able to do that with her, I'm also very able to do that with the Lord.
Right.
And so that's where the struggle is of choosing to still believe this thing about yourself, this belief.
Well, thank you for sharing that. If you guys will notice, Matt shared two different things about himself, the belief about himself, right? Like, I'm not enough, and this other failure part. So for some of you, there may be more than one of these that resonate. And while you're going through this, you can lean into either one or both. If you do lean into one, I'd go for the more intense one. But the more of these parts that you know, because you can have more than one, right? This is not a reductionistic idea. Like we're trying to give us words, but you may have several of these places that you can discern over time which one is the loudest. Pray about that one. If you check back in with yourself and you notice that there's another tune playing that's also kind of like has some noise in your head, then you can pray about that one too. Right? You get to pray to Jesus whenever you want, whatever's going on. So like, mm-hmm. it's not like there's a time limit, right? You don't get, 2 minutes of prayer a day and that's it. That's right. That's a wonderful thing about the God that we serve and the love that he has for us and the love that we get to have for him.
Yeah.
Is that we can take those things in prayer
and
really just allow ourselves to continually practice handing these things over to Jesus, because it builds the strength to be able to hand the overall struggle over, because now we're understanding all these parts that contribute to it. So I hope that this episode's helpful and just trying to understand these blocks. This is where things do get deeper, and I would encourage you to sit around some of these physical sensations, allow your brain to kind of really kind of consolidate that message. This is something that may be easier with another person, or it may be easier to talk through with that other person or a therapist or some type of counselor or preacher or, a pastor. So like, you have that opportunity, really, if you know that it's something that's hard for you, right? Because intimacy is hard for a lot of us. So like, there's times where we have to lean into, all right, that hard skill so I can build that tolerance. And that's okay. It's not anything about you. You're learning to do something new, and recognize that. You're learning to do something different. And God has so much patience and so much love and so many resources to hand over to you if you're willing to turn to him.
Yes, he does.
Right. So, again, we just hope that this episode was helpful for you. We thank you so much for tuning in. Just want to let you know that we care about you, we love you, and we're so excited that you're going through this process of handing your deepest struggles over to Jesus. Take care.
Hey, guys. Thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way, if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content, and God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much, and we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah, thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.